episode of Triple Beat Buzzer Beater Banter. Lynn Burton here, joined by my co-host, Mr. Nicholas Sharamy. Nick, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing good, brother. Look. I know everything is about March Madness right now, and college basketball is the whole big deal, but I got something to show you.
What you got?
I'm repping.
The Pelly. I knew it when I saw the colors, I was like, Nick's wearing a Pels hat right now. I like it.
I'm repping. Look, I usually don't go for flat bills either. I like this one.
Look, the Pels are really look. We're gonna talk about it. They are really good. I'm ecstatic. But before we get into that, it's been like a week separating the last episode and this episode. We predicted some things with NFL free agency.
We did.
Russell Wilson to the Steelers.
Yeah, that was you. That was all you, dude.
I felt
total credit for that.
Felt so proud of that, but didn't expect Justin Fields to go there. That was a shocker.
That's very surprising. I thought about that as like a pie in the sky, stupid, why would they do this kind of thing? But
I guess Mike Tomlin said he's fed up with having zero quarter, like his backup's trash.
Yeah,
his starter's trash. He's like, no. I'm gonna have Russ.
He had three quarterbacks that were all basically the same white guy.
He was like, if Russ doesn't work, then I got the runner and Justin. If Justin doesn't work, well, then we're fucked. But like,
well, yeah. But if you have two quarterbacks and neither of them work, you're screwed anyway. So
facts.
Doesn't really matter.
I like what the Steelers did. Some other big moves. Saquon going to the Eagles. The Eagles kind of shored themselves up getting Chauncey Gardner-Johnson.
Yeah, getting CJ GJ back and getting, Saquon Barkley. I mean, come on.
It was big moves, man.
That's a trade up. That's a trade up from DeAndre Swift. No shade to DeAndre Swift, but that's a legitimate trade up.
Like, they got Bryce Huff on the edge.
It's not like they weren't a contender before. They definitely are now.
Mm-hmm. I would also say Washington put themselves in position to draft a quarterback.
Yeah, they did.
Bobby Wagner, Austin Eckler. Like, they added things around.
They put some weapons around their quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And did gave him some protection or some defense on the other side.
Okay. The Giants didn't do much. They added defense. And the Cowboys didn't do shit. So, that's the NFC East. NFC North, the Bears are taking Caleb Williams.
Yeah, we're going to see how that experiment plays out. It is well documented, my opinions on Caleb Williams. But, we'll just have to see. I mean, look, it's at the end of the day, we can't find out until they start playing the game.
They got him weapons, bro. Keenan Allen, DJ Moore. He is coming into a team that they could draft Brock Bowers if they want and then really just be full guns ahead. The Chicago, everything's in their favor. And, you know, we'll see.
They're going to try and build a good young core, and it's all going to depend on whether that first pick is a bust or not.
Exactly. And a lot of people, I'm going to stand on it. A lot of people are calling Caleb a bust. I'm on the Caleb train.
I was super a fan of that when, like, that was just me and four other people on the internet.
Now everybody's calling
a bust. I'm starting to second guess myself because
no bust. And I don't want to be the guy that calls Jaden Daniels a bust because I think Jaden could maybe succeed. But
I've said this numerous times, I have more faith in Jaden Daniels. And as an LSU hater, mind you, I have more faith in Jaden Daniels than I do in Caleb Williams.
I go Caleb 1, Jaden 2, and then after that, it's like, oof, it's a crapshoot because, like, I don't think Drake May is that good.
I was going to say, what, you're not excited about Drake May?
I don't think Drake May is that good. I definitely don't think J.J. McCarthy is that good, and I'm not a big fan of Penix. Like, I think it, like, I think Mike Penix.
I think Penix is a really, really good
potential.
A lot of people like Penix. But I don't know exactly how confident I am in him, because at the end of the day, it's all going to come down to this, like, modern age of quarterbacks, the mobile, spread the ball around, do the Patrick Mahomes, like, throw from any arm slot thing. Every team wants the prototypical quarterback, but if everyone gets the prototypical quarterback, he's not a prototype anymore.
Facts.
That becomes the norm. So defenses will naturally adapt and you'll start to see that stuff kind of happen. But I think in general, Caleb Williams is what he is. He's got a ton of talent, but we saw him start to kind of fall off towards the end of last season. He hasn't really thrown much. He's not let anyone really see what he's got. He wants his college ball to speak for him.
And he's betting on himself. I can't hate on the guy for doing that, but he thinks he's that good. He thinks he can go. I'm going to watch and be a fan.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say, hey, brother, I want you to do it because Chicago, that'd be huge. And then they're doing it the Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen route, where you get a young quarterback, try to win now, and then let's see what happens. Keenan Allen's like, fuck yeah. Like, if you're Keenan Allen.
If you're Keenan Allen, I mean,
you're in a good situation. You just went from Justin Herbert to now you're getting Caleb Williams, potentially better, depending on how you feel. So, you know, we'll see what's up with them. Detroit, I don't know if Detroit got better adding Marcus Davenport and DJ Reader. I think it was like, okay.
I think they were pretty good to begin with. I don't think they really needed to add a big name to be good. I think they got their big game record in Aiden Hutchinson. Putting Davenport on the other side, assuming the guy can actually stay healthy, is not a bad choice.
And Reader's not bad on the
Reader's DC not front. Bad at all. That's actually a pretty, like, a deceptively good defensive front. I mean, we know Saints fans in particular are pretty down on Marcus Davenport, but he has potential. We've seen him give flashes of really, really good play. And so I think in the right situation where he's not expected to be the guy, I think he can totally do it.
Before we get to the NFC South, any other teams whose moves you like? Like the Chiefs, man.
The rich
get richer.
Yeah, the Chiefs always do what's right. I like that move.
Getting Marquise Brown there, new, and then Irv Smith Jr. Yeah. But I think the Texans low-key.
I was going to say the Texans did a really good job as well. Just so much. I mean, so many things. This NFL is a completely different looking NFL right now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, even Derrick Henry to Baltimore, like, affects things. Like, the Bengals got good on defense.
I was going to say, that's probably so one many of the players. Most underrated signings of the free agency period is Derrick Henry. Yeah, he's lost a step, but you're putting him in the backfield with Lamar freaking Jackson. Like, that's huge. Can't really see that being a problem. You got your ground and your pound, and maybe you need two yards in a cloud of dust, but Derrick Henry can also turn those 2 yards in a cloud of dust into, oh my God, he's already 30 yards down the field.
It's big time. And then look, I'll say the Jets added some things, getting some weapons there. If Aaron could ever play, gotta say honestly, getting Patrick Queen to the Steelers plus those two quarterbacks, that might be the biggest moves that I think can be successful.
Wait, you're telling me you're not excited about Jacoby Brissett and KJ Osborne going to the Patriots?
No, they're drafting a quarterback.
Come on.
Them and the Vikings, and we will get to the Vikings quarterback went. But the Vikings, the Bears, the Vikings, the Patriots, and the Commanders signaled, hey, we're taking a quarterback.
Yeah, we're taking a quarterback.
Now, if you want to move up,
right? If you're the fourth pick in the draft and you're not one of those teams that wants a quarterback, you can start drafting up your opinion.
Your pick, and options.
Hey, can we just have like everything? Just your next 3 years of first rounders or something, and one of them is going to bite on it. I'm pretty sure.
Now, our home teams conference. The NFC South.
I'm so pissed.
Nick, I think the Saints lost.
I hate what happened in the NFC South. I texted you. I think I texted. I'm going to check because I very distinctly remember texting you and just saying,
womp, womp, womp.
Chase Young and Oli Udah, that's the best we can do with the facepalm emoji.
Yeah. Look, man, and then Chase Young has a neck injury.
Did you see the Photoshop of Chase Young signing his contract brace. With a neck brace on? I want to die.
That shit was funny. But the guy says he's going to be healthy for the start. As long as he's better than Davenport. And fucking Peyton Turner. Yeah. Like, that's Chase Young. Like,
then again,
came out of college supposed to be a beast.
Yeah,
it could be big for us, but you don't know. But we did lose Michael Thomas. We lost Andrus Peat. We did get Willie Gay. This team is just
I do like the Willie Gay signing. I know, like, the Saints had an underwhelming free agency, but the Willie Gay signing I was very excited about. He is a very good – I've been saying we need a linebacker that's going to be there when DeMar Davis does walk away.
You think he could be Willie Gay?
I think he could be a leader. I'm not sure if he's going to be as productive as DeMario Davis. I mean, it's not impossible, but it's a very high bar to reach. I do think he could be a leader in the same way that DeMario Davis is on that defensive front, though. And, you know, you've got some young guys. I mean, the kid, I can't remember his name. Pete Werner.
Yeah. I mean,
that is a good young cover linebacker. He is a very, very talented cover linebacker. Now, he lacks a little bit in the run game because he's basically built like a strong safety. Mm-hmm. But that is, in my opinion, that is the prototype outside linebacker, being able to cover a quick tight end and a heavy tight end and a fairly quick receiver. So, I mean, you got some talent already in that core. DeMario Davis, Willie Gay, and Pete Werner this year. I'm actually really excited for that linebacking core.
Oh, man, I'm looking at our roster right now, and they got Lattimore in there. I was about to say, dang, did they take him off already? Like, geez. But they did add Cedric Wilson. I don't know what that does. So, like, Cedric was Miami.
What was that guy's name?
Stanley Morgan.
The least football player name I could think of on the planet. That sounds like a lawyer.
This just makes me think the Saints with their draft.
He is a local kid, though.
Okay. Well, it makes me think the Saints with their draft's going offensive line because of Penning. I think they're going offensive line.
I mean, you put so much aside for Penning in the last year or two, and it's just not. It has come to naught, and that's not a good thing. That's disappointing, and you need to, we need to move on from that.
We're either gonna get Fashanu or Fautanu. The other
Fautanu,
Fautanu. We're either gonna get one of those dudes, probably, which is sad. Because, Brock Bowers is there, bro.
I know. I'm so tired of boring Saints drafts for first rounds. But, I mean, historically, though, the Saints have made their best picks in the mid to late rounds. I mean, that's where you get your Alvin Kamaras, all those kind of guys. So, your Marcus Colston.
Hey, maybe we trade it back in because, Brian Thomas would be great to add with Chris Olave. It's let's go.
I will say, I mean, we talk about, losing Michael Thomas and we might need some wide receivers. And it's like, do people forget that AT Perry looked like a breakout star last year at the end of the season?
AT Perry did.
We have three solid wide receivers. Olave might have been a little disappointing last year, but we've talked about the sophomore slump for the last two decades.
And now he's number one.
Does it. Mm-hmm. And now he's the true number one. No discussion. Mm-hmm. Rashid Shaheed is out there still quicker than 90% of cornerbacks in the league, if not 95, if not 99. And I mean, AT Perry is a young and upcoming buck. And he's what's awesome about AT Perry, and this is something I noticed last year, is he has the potential to go in any of the directions he wants. He can go and focus on route running and try and be super crisp that way. He can focus on trying to get bigger and be more physical, like a more of a Michael Thomas type. He has options to try and fit into the offense however he can.
Yeah, he's good.
So the depth guys, I mean, your Stanley Morgans and Cedric Wilsons of the world, they're depth guys anyway. Like, that's what they're supposed to be. True. I'm not pressed about drafting wide receiver in the first round. I wasn't pressed about drafting a tight end because we know I'm behind my guy, Juwan Johnson.
Yeah, me too. I am as well.
Super underrated.
I'm just like, I want to see the Saints do something splashy. Yeah. But I guess now's not the time.
We want that because we want to see some fire out of this.
I just feel like the other teams are better than us.
Sleepwalking Dennis Allen offense and front office. It's just bad.
And then you look at Atlanta.
It's boring to watch.
Atlanta has now Kirk. That changes Atlanta.
Yeah, so that's...
Like, legitimately.
That changes the face of the NFC South for the foreseeable future. I think Kirk Cousins, he's one of those guys. We talk crap about him. I mean,
but he gets
the things that Blaze Bro has said about that name. But... Kirk Cousins, I tell you, at the end of the day, he makes teams better. Mm-hmm. He makes the players around him better. And God forbid he does that at the Atlanta Falcons, because if they can figure out how to get use out of Drake London and Kyle Pitts, we might be screwed.
I think Tampa Bay's good, too. Like, I think Baker has something. Mike Evans, Baker, they figured
that's
out their
the best
stuff.
That team. That's the best that team has been since Tom Brady.
That's what I'm sure. So I think between Atlanta and Tampa – whether you want to put Atlanta first or Tampa first, I'm leaning Baker right now, but I understand everything you said about Kirk Cousins. Yeah. It's 100% true. The Saints are easily third. Easily third.
And I say easily third because the Panthers are still fourth.
Yeah, they just suck. That's a fact. And, honestly, I think the Saints GM are like, no, we can compete with these people. I'm just like...
Yeah, It's not even an issue. It's not even the Derek Carr issue anymore. It's just like...
The culture.
We're going for all these. Yeah, it's all these kind of secondhand names and guys that, because here's the thing. Dan Campbell created a culture with the Lions by taking all the washouts. All the guys who were turned away by other squads, He said, come here. We'll value you. We will nurture your talent. We will make you into what we need you to be to make this team great. And they made it to an NFC championship.
Mm-hmm. They did.
And but the difference between taking castoffs and getting to the NFC championship and taking castoffs and not making the playoffs is the culture you build around those players. And that starts with your coaches.
And the Saints have bad coaches. Maybe the offensive guy coming in from the 49ers, you know, gonna bring that.
I
Mike
like
McDaniel,
that. I like the coach, but
Tannehill juice.
I like the structure and the playbook and all that stuff. But where's the attitude? Where's the?
It's gonna have to come from him. Like, listen, the way I view it, he coaches offense. Not, Allen coaches defense. That's just how I view it.
Because what we need to address at the end of the day, though, is if you remember at the end of that season, Jameis Winston gets your boy Jamal Williams his first touchdown of the season in the final game. And look, it's a garbage time play against a team you should hate with a capital H-A-T-E.
I forgot about that. I put that in the back like it's Pelican
I will
season.
Never,
I put that in the back of my
I will
head.
Never
That's
forgive,
crazy.
I will never forgive Dennis Allen for the way he acted after that. One, it's the fucking Falcons. Who gives a shit? Two, sportsmanship, you're out of the fucking playoffs and it's less than a minute left in the last game. Why do you give a fuck about sportsmanship? You got a guy who's been busting his ass for this team and you've left him by the fucking wayside because of your anemic ass offense. I want to him and fucking slap the shit out of him.
I'm clipping that. He turned red.
I'm mad. I'm fucking pissed. And I got this hat on and it's sweaty. God damn it.
Man, that was just it was a bad look.
On TikTok, we'll get taken
down. I will. That was a bad look for Dennis Allen. It's true. And like I tweeted, shout out to Deuce. There's no beef. No beef. So I tweeted because it came back up in my For You. Last year, Deuce made a tweet like, why doesn't the Pelicans coaches get it or the Pelicans get as much flack as the Saints? Because you remember last year, Zion, they went from first to whatever because of injuries. And so Deuce was like, oh, Saints, injuries. Okay, that tweet popped back up and I retweeted and I was like, I wonder what Deuce McAllister has to say this year. And he was like, are you clamoring for attention? I was like, no, dudes, serious question.
Yeah,
Dennis Allen is kind of shit. And I don't know if he responded to that one because it was like, I don't know if he wants to call out Dennis Allen.
Yeah,
like, I think
probably not.
The former Saints guys are being quiet because it's just true, bro.
Well, a lot of them have jobs in the area, like with local teams. I mean, it's like,
but it's true. Dennis Allen is meh. Yeah. It's like,
you got to understand as a player, if you don't feel like your coach is going to defend your actions, good or bad. I mean, that's a problem.
I think he got a C in the coaching vote.
He might have, which I'll say this, and this might be controversial. I don't give a fuck. A C is worse than an F in that, like specifically for coach votes. If everybody hates your coach, then just fire him.
So
everybody loves the coach, no big deal. But if C, that's like meh. I don't care.
So the player annual, so the Players Association survey.
Report cards or whatever.
Yeah. So here are the full rankings according to the survey. The Saints coach fell number 26 out of 32.
Come on. Now, mind you, that's also the whole coaching staff, too. So it's not just the coach.
It's not just Dennis Allen. But it's but that's still crazy to fall that far behind. Like, let me give you some names that are in front of him. Brandon Staley, bro, who is no longer a Chargers coach.
I think everyone above and below, like everyone directly above and directly below Dennis Allen lost their job.
Robert Saleh.
Yeah.
Matt Eberflus.
Okay, Eberflus still has his job. But
still, bro, for those teams to be ahead of you, it's like, what the fuck? Jonathan Gannon. The Cardinals had a horrible season. Horrible. Frank Reich. He got fired. What the fuck?
He got literally ran out of town.
Pete Carroll, out of there. So
he's
just
retired.
Like,
I'll give him a break.
It's just like, geez, man, the Saints, I don't know. But like, look, maybe the voodoo I sprinkle, because let me be honest with you, Nick. Like last year, I was taking a dump and I'm just mid poop sesh. And I'm just like, you know what? I was sick of that game. I had diarrhea. I was watching the Pels. Injuries. I said, sports, universe, and gods, if you allow the Pelicans to take over for the next like 6 years, I will suffer through 15 years of horrible Saints play.
Why would you do that?
I said that. I legitimately said that. And I was like, as long as we get like two championships out of it, out of the 6 years of Pelicans domination.
Maybe I'm too much of a football guy.
I would be so satisfied. I'd be so satisfied.
You know, wait. No. Hold on. Hold on. Two championships.
Six years of Zion finals, dominance.
And finals, the finals, NBA finals.
In New Orleans.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
That would be all right. Fire,
if I
bro.
Got to go to an NBA finals game in New Orleans,
that
I would
fire. Because, like, think about it. When I made that, when I talked to the sports universe and made that request, the Saints had no promising future.
No,
look
didn't.
At where we are. Like, at least.
I mean, they still don't have much
exactly. of a promising future. Like, at least the Pelicans have a shot.
Years of failure. Like,
yeah, that was a lot. Bad. But hey, for two championships, I'll take it. I will take it. A parade? But... Parades going in to... Look, there's great things coming from that.
I went to New Orleans. I didn't even go to the... I mean, we weren't even at the game. I went to New Orleans for the Saints Super Bowl win, and I was a kid.
Oh, that was
and that's
bam
still,
bumping.
It's got to be one of the top 10 experiences of my life.
Yeah, I feel that. That was bumping. So, but Saints did not do well, fans. Just letting y'all know, did not do well.
I'm very curious to see how next year's season goes. I'm expecting a very middling, like, 8-9, 7
yeah.
and 10.
And then we'll see. We'll talk more about it after the draft. All right, so Nick, real quick, March Madness has begun. We're not going to give y'all our full brackets.
Yeah,
Tell us who is in your championship and who did you have winning.
Okay, you're going to think I want to start off by saying in defense of myself that my bracket is currently 90%.
Yeah, it's higher than mine.
90% of my bracket, I'm ranked 2.6 million, which is apparently good. But I did have Kentucky in my final and they did get smacked by Oakland.
I just don't know how you're ahead of me in your final team.
Because it's only one wrong pick. I only picked one wrong.
That's the biggest pick.
I mean, yeah, but I don't know. I will say this: if NC State, NC State's going to beat Oakland, if NC State beats Oakland and then loses to Marquette in the Sweet 16, then I am like very, very close percentage points to being correct because I predicted all that stuff except. Kentucky was the top dog of that whole thing. So
well,
I learned how the math works and it's stupid. But
I don't want what you just said to happen because I picked UNC versus NC State, a rematch of that they've had.
Wow.
And I got UNC winning, so but I kind of wanted to pick NC State.
I also picked UNC, but I picked UNC Kentucky and I picked UNC to win.
Oh, so okay, so we both want USC to win.
Now I had
NC State, baby.
So the final four, I had UNC over UConn and same. UK over Tennessee.
NC State versus Purdue.
Purdue, yeah. So that's why I don't feel very good about Tennessee. I don't feel very good about Tennessee. But you know,
did Creighton lose?
Sorry,
did Creighton lose? Because I had him going pretty far.
Creighton. I'm sorry. I'm looking at my.
I'm trying to get go back.
Do you know what? Do you know what they're in? Do you know which one?
Hold on. No, I'll answer. No, they won. They beat Akron. Okay,
no, they did. No, yeah, I just saw they're playing Oregon, which that's another. So that's one of my upsets that I didn't get right. I had called for South Carolina when that game. The SEC blew dicks.
Yeah, the SEC sucks
in this one. I mean, South Carolina. So South Carolina got out.
Mississippi
Alabama
State
won and Tennessee won, but Mississippi State's out. And Auburn's out.
And Kentucky, which is huge.
And the SEC fucking commissioner was making a whole huge big deal about there needs to be fewer automatic bids so more big Power 5 teams can get in. Fuck you. Suck
no, your teams did horrible. The SEC has no power in basketball when your blue blood can't even win. Like, the SEC has more power in women's basketball, which, like...
They do, which is... What, dude,
LSU,
hey,
let's repeat, baby!
Women's basketball is
it's
awesome
more,
right
it's
now.
More entertaining.
It is awesome right now.
Like, the men's basketball, it's been okay. Like, some of these games have been absolutely dog shit. But some of them have been kind of good.
Shout out to Houston versus Longwood at halftime. right now. Houston is up 43-16.
Trash, bro. Like, UConn versus Stetson. Stetson only scored 52 points. What the fuck was I watching? Duke versus Vermont, 64-47. That's a high school game, brother. High school game.
Virginia was up, like, they scored the first 13 points and then, like,
oh, then they just stopped. Yeah, close. That was before. That was like the lead in.
That's bubble or whatever.
Yeah, that was the to get into the tournament. Yeah, or whatever. Yeah, they lost hard. That's ridiculous. That was pathetic. So yeah, no, women's college basketball has been more entertaining. I'm picking LSU to repeat. My backup would probably be Stanford because that girl is really good.
Yeah. Well, oh, yeah. What's her name? I can't think of it.
I'm blanking on her name. But hold on, I'll tell you. And they're playing right now. They're winning 30-17. Her name is Cameron Brink. Cameron Brink is amazing. Yeah. Like, she is so damn good. Yeah. So we shall see what happens. But I'm pulling for LSU. Got to. Also, shout out to the Sun Belt. I think JMU, they're winning right now. They're playing Wisconsin.
Last I checked, they were.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so 33-20 at half.
Yep, so that's big. You guys will hear this. We're recording this Friday night. You guys will hear this on Saturday. So hopefully JMU wins.
Yeah.
Really quick.
Shout out PFT.
We'll do Lynn's basketball corner, and then we'll get Nick's baseball corner. Look, the Pellies, everyone who is listening to this, who has ever listened to me talk about this team, people got on my ass. They said, Lynn, you don't know what you're talking about the Pellies. The Pellies are trash.
There's some people from the radio that owe
the
you.
The radio station, my Discord, the YouTube comments, everyone got on my ass. I can't help this team was injured. Now you see when this team is healthy, what the fuck it is. What time it is, baby. It's game time.
43-27 right now.
I am so hyped that I think legitimately we can make the finals. And that's crazy.
I don't disagree with that.
I legitimately think we can make the finals. There's a world.
There's a better than non-zero chance. There's a good shot. You guys go into the – I say you guys, like I'm not a fan. We go into the playoffs and, I mean, make some fucking noise.
Exactly. I think
even just getting to the WCF, to the conference finals would be
– we make the Western Conference Finals, that's a dub. I think we can make it to the finals. I do. The Nuggets are really good. I think compared to the Thunder and the Timberwolves, the two other young teams – I'm taking our young team over there.
Ant's crazy. Ant Edwards is.
Yeah, he's great. And Shea Gilgeous is great.
I think Ant should be the MVP.
David Schultz. He was coming at me. I tweeted him. I'm clipping this. All of you Zion haters. He is here. My man lost that weight. And he.
I can't hear a word you're saying. You blew your whole mic.
Duncan!
Have you heard about Michael Wilbon saying, like, he's, like, still talking, like, on that same
talking about the weight shit? Zion, God, bro, that shit irritates
me. I used to respect Wilbon so much.
Dude. That shit irritates me.
Look, and let's be, you mentioned fucking injuries. Let's talk about the luck after that horrible injury. Brendan has a contusion.
Yeah, they got lucky. They got really lucky with that.
Are you like
that was like a woo? Yeah, like I know I'm talking shit like we're healthy now, even though Brandon Ingram is hurt. But it's only gonna be like 2 weeks, three weeks, four weeks max.
I say give him 4 weeks because you have the record too. Give mm-hmm. him 4 weeks so he can get healthy because that looked bad, even if it is just a bone contusion.
And it's just getting Zion in more healthy. Shape. You're just getting Zion closer to 100%. Because I would say Zion right now. He did a rotation in the Miami game where he got beat and his person cut and they passed it, but he jumped from like the block to the other block and blocked that dude's shot. I was like, holy shit. He could not do that last year. No. That was Duke Zion. So like, I would say he's in the 90s because he hasn't said he's 100% Duke Zion, but he's in the 90s. Damn.
Yeah.
Like, and if by the playoffs, he's 100%.
If we get Duke Zion, yeah.
Oh my gosh, you people are in trouble.
And I mean, I think Ant's the front runner for MVP right now, in my opinion.
Oh yeah, he is. He is for sure. Him, but I don't think
Zion's not in the race.
That's where I'm gonna stop my homerism,
because I know you talked about, you were like, yeah, pro Zion MVP, and
I predicted that early in the season. I think it took him a while to come on. I think next year Zion MVP talks is gonna be much better, because he knows how to get himself to that.
Truthfully,
he knows the way to get himself skinny now.
But truthfully,
he had to see it.
Yeah. Truthfully, though, I think right now this is such a team. Like a team oriented.
It is, because Herb Jones is the best defensive player in the league right
now. Come on. If he doesn't win defensive player of the year, the league.
Or all NBA. Yeah. Like something. At least all NBA. He's got to be first team, because he deserves it. Trey Murphy's hitting the jumpers well, being like one of the best.
CJ is still out there doing his thing.
CJ dropped 30 tonight.
You got young guys who are like really contributing. I mean, you got some of these young cats, these like the
deepest team in the West, I would say, legitimately. And I know the counter argument is, in the playoff you shrink your roster, but it's like, do the Pels might not shrink it as much as people think, because they might use their depth as a superpower some nights when people don't have it. Like, get in someone who may can get it done. But I would say in the West, I'm most terrified of the Nuggets for sure.
You should be.
I would say a matchup with the Mavericks, I think we could win, but I just think Luka gives this team trouble. If not Luka, Kyrie, whichever one Herb Jones is not on, will just give us trouble. But it's a 7-game series. I still pick the Pels. I think the Clippers have enough firepower, but like, they're injured like bad. So like, I don't know. And Thunder, like I said, I take our young guys over theirs, but you know, we shall see. The Nuggets are the most terrifying team in the West to me, though. And in the East, the Celtics are damn good, bro. Like, I'm gonna call a spade a spade. If the Pelicans made it to the finals, they would lose to the Celtics. Like, that's how damn good the Celtics are.
My Celtics are damn good. Jaylen Brown just
exploded.
Yeah,
Tatum has help.
Tatum can sit on the bench and Jaylen Brown can go and explode.
Or you could have Porzingis, or you have Derek White, who's been playing good. Drew Holiday. That team is really good.
I am such a big Derek White guy.
Derek has been balling, man. Bald Derek got something special. But the East, I like seeing the Knicks in there. I like seeing the Magic in there. Young teams, man. This is the team stepped up.
I think the playoffs this year are going to be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
This NBA playoffs is probably going to be one of the better ones we've had.
It's going to be fun. A lot of diversity, a lot of different teams. Seeing the Thunder, the Pelicans, and Timberwolves have high playoff seeds if things continue. Having the Kings be in the playoffs, because the Kings are still in the eighth seed in the East. And then, like, maybe not getting a LeBron, maybe not getting a Steph. And then on the East, maybe not getting a Jimmy Butler, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe the Embiid's injury causes the Sixers to miss it. But we have the Pacers, Knicks, Magic, Cavs, and like Giannis is like the old man, him and Dame. So it's like, this would be very, very intriguing. Not ready to pick the East, just letting you know where we're standing. I'll be getting some people from different teams to come on next week and the week after, so just be on the lookout for that. All right, Nick, tell us what's up with college baseball and how the Cajuns are doing.
Your UL Raging Cajuns turned out a good performance tonight. Excellent pitching from LP Langevin. And others led to a complete shutout of Old Dominion, 3-0 in their first matchup. I think it was the sixth inning or fifth. I'm sorry, I forgot. I was listening to it on the radio. Shout out Jay Walker. But really good 5-game win streak. Okay, went from about 500 to 14-8 right
now. That's pretty good. 5-1 away? That's pretty good.
We've got a 2-1 series. We win over Arkansas State in our conference, and we're well on our way working towards a series win against ODU. We run ruled Southern on Tuesday. So, I mean, this is a team. I mean, after the Tulane series, when they won on just one of the most incredible last second home runs that I've seen in college baseball, at least at Russo Park, this team has kind of been really, really, really hot.
Kyle DeBarge has 8 homers. I would say Trey LaFleur, though, with the batting average of 404.
LaFleur just hits. I mean, DeBarge is on 13 straight hits, 13 straight at bats with a hit. So, I mean, they're the offense is moving the fucking ball. Pitching has been amazing. Langevin, Martinez, all these guys are getting, and it's new faces too. Like DeBarge is still doing his thing, but you got guys like Pastor, Duncan Pastor, Jose Torres has very quickly become a fan favorite, making a very strong statement saying, hey, look, I know we just came off of one of the best pitchers in Raging Cajun's history in Julian Brock, but I'm making my name. I am not the same kind of player as Julian Brock. He's an aggressive hitter. He's taken six walks in the season. Or no, he has six strikeouts in the season. He's taken three walks in the last 10 games.
Okay.
He puts the bat on the ball. And yeah, sometimes it gets caught for an out, but the bat goes on the ball and the ball goes away and he can hit that thing. So, I mean, this is a team that's super, super aggressive, and it's the best kind of baseball to watch, in my opinion, because they're not just fishing for a home run and you get like 60 fucking long flies to the warning track that just get caught by a right fielder for nothing. You get a lot of movement, a lot of ball, a lot of hit and runs. They did a fucking second and third base hit and run double suicide squeeze the other day, and it's like wild baseball shit that, like, if you're a fan of baseball, if you like good baseball, and if you don't like baseball, really, you can still enjoy watching it. And they're a talented fucking team. And we're going to see how they go through the middle of the season here in the conference stretch, but they're starting it off very, very well. Since that Tulane series, they've only lost one game.
And hell yeah.
So that's, I mean,
do you pick
five straight wins, nine out of the last 10.
Do you pick them to beat ODU and then leading into Grambling in Texas State? We'll probably do an episode before Grambling. Texas State. But do you think they'll beat ODU to, you know, going to Texas State with some confidence?
I figure they're going to maybe drop one to ODU. ODU is not the best baseball team in the conference.
Okay.
I wouldn't be surprised if they drop one just because that's kind of the nature of baseball.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's I would say ODU is probably a pretty secure series win. I don't want to jinx anything.
Jinx it, but okay.
Yeah, Grambling is going to should be an easy. That's like playing Southern, kind of. It's like, mm-hmm. You know.
Not really baseball team.
Not really, yeah. Texas State is going to be a challenging, but you know, they're a very good baseball team. And then you got Nicholls and ULM, who are not like crazy. And again, I know we're looking pretty far ahead, but you know. You got teams like Prairie View A&M that are going to come in. That's going to give, you know, you're going to give you a run for your money. But really, all eyes should be set on the Marshall series in the middle of April.
Okay.
Because Marshall is, I would say, the team to beat in the Sun Belt right now in terms of baseball.
Okay. Hell yeah. So that's what we're going to be looking forward to see. We'll see if these names that Nick has been telling us about all season continue to dominate.
MLB opening day next week. Let's get hyped.
Okay, hell yeah. And then tickets right now, if you're trying to go to games, shout out to the Cajuns. Get my man Nick credentialed. We're going to talk to the people. Tickets right now, $12. So, like, if you're listening to this and you're in Lafayette, go support the Cajuns.
And $2 natural lights if you're a beer drinker.
And
shout out, I've told everybody who will listen, the crawfish nachos.
Good? Banger?
Fucking tastic.
And well, they better have it during football season.
You can get them. You can get them on fries. And that's the fucking move.
Now, see, I'm going to be salty. I'm going to be salty if they don't have it during football season and I go to a baseball game and try it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm like, oh, man, they're fire. Okay, I'm going to get it on fries then. Hell yeah.
Yeah. So we have to go catch a game, you and me.
That's what I'm saying. Make sure y'all get out there. $12 tickets. Shout out to the Cajuns. But that's Nick's Baseball Corner. We'll be back next week with some basketball guests. Nick, tell the people they can follow you at on social media.
As per usual, you can follow me on Twitter for all my sports takes, at ShareItsMe, ShareItsMe. And if you're looking for video game takes or nerd culture stuff, you can also find me at Revenant Rogue, ReVenantRogue, on that same Twitter. That's about it. I have been doing streaming at certain points, but stuff's been coming out. Wedding shit is crazy.
Yeah, you got to get married first.
I'm busy as fuck right now. But
y'all make sure y'all go follow.
But I got
Nick.
These nice new lights and new cameras.
He's gonna be ready. So
feeling good. You know?
y'all make sure y'all go follow my man Nick. Check out all of his stuff. Follow me at LinBWT. Subscribe to the YouTube. Subscribe wherever you get your podcast. A lot of good content. I'm not gonna list it all, but like a lot
check
of things.
The bros.
Yeah, check it out. And then until next week, y'all have a good one. And peace.